Chapter 25 Anubis. The buggy rolled forward and over the first zombie. It wore something dark, with jewelry or ice glinting on its ears and nose. The bumper pushed it back, and it tipped over without a moment of resistance, dropping out of sight. Next, a woman in powder blue fell under the slatted wheels, and then two more so fast no details registered. The next one bounced off the front and tumbled away across the landscape until it vanished out of the floodlights. Jake's hand shifted on the controls, and Anubis obeyed, lurching to the right. Eight more clients thudded against the front of the buggy and disappeared into the darkness. Callie watched them vanish. She blinked away some more blurriness. She could make out individual buttons and switches on the console, but the labels still looked like a fuzzy mess of lines. Not bad, considering she'd only been thawing for 15 minutes or so. The miracle yellow goo did its job. A top-heavy figure appeared in the headlights. Someone in a spacesuit. A surge of hope swelled up in Callie's throat. Another survivor. Jake's shoulders tensed, probably with the same thought. Then Anubis got a few meters closer and they could see the frost inside the visor. Callie let her eyes drop to the spindly legs. Normal-sized, really. Against the bulk of the spacesuit's upper half, the jumpsuit seemed like a thin and flimsy covering. The figure turned, and the lights hit the black stripe down its leg. Callie swallowed her hope. Jake muttered something under his breath. He eased back on the throttle. They both stared out the curving windshield and listened to each other breathe. The dead thing that had been Izmi raised her arms and lurched toward the buggy, her unprotected legs kicking up dust. Jake lowered his head. Callie reached out and slid her fingers over her own throttle controls. Anubis lunged forward. The zombie's helmet cracked against the bottom edge of the windshield. Her body thudded against the bumper, bounced away, and disappeared. Jake took a deep breath.
You okay?
She nodded once.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like you said, they're just monsters now. You?
Still cold, he said after a moment, but not shivering as much. We're going a little slower than I'd like, 'cause I still can't see great, but I think we'll be okay.
The buggy hit another zombie, a tall man with pasty white skin, and sent him pinwheeling into the night.
How much slower?
He glanced over at her.
Still faster than them, if that's what you're asking. 14 minutes to Gagarin. We've pretty much got time to kill.
Not the best way to put it.
Sorry.
Anubis lumbered across the regolith, knocking a few more of the undead away or beneath its front bumper. One of them looked vaguely familiar. Someone she knew? A client she'd buried? Or just someone with such generic features they always looked familiar? Callie had another drink of water and watched a slender dead woman spin away into the darkness.
Want to trade bad decisions?
She asked.
What?
She shrugged. It set off a mini wave of shivering she banished with a quick bout of arm rubbing.
You said people make bad decisions when they're scared. Sounded like personal experience. What did you do?
He let out a dry laugh.
I'll win this game. Can safely say my bad decisions make all of yours look like good ones.
Don't be so sure.
I'm sure.
The humor had left his voice.
Try me.
Jake tapped at the controls. Anubis finished its wide turn and headed across a plain of regolith.
You sure?
You said we have time to waste.
Not exactly how I put it.
He reached up for his cap and scowled when it wasn't there.
Nobody on the moon knows this except Waqid. But you just saved my life, so I figure if I'm going to tell anyone else.
His voice trailed off, and he stared out at the lunar night.
I'm waiting.
I killed 3 kids.
The water bottle slipped in her hand. Her fingers caught it before it spilled in her lap.
What?
He raised a hand.
Not like in some serial killer way. In the Marines.
She tried to process the information. He let the hand drop.
Was on a mission in an Afghan war zone. Just finished a messy firefight we shouldn't have been in to start with. Lost half my men. And all of a sudden, this group of kids comes out of a building charging us with grenades. They were all grinning and shrieking, and I gunned them down. Killed all 3 of them before the first grenade landed right between us.
And then?
Water balloons. Ones they print patterns on so they'll look like old 21st century frag grenades. That was how they cooled each other off in the summer, throwing balloons at each other. Just a bunch of kids playing who didn't realize how it would look to us. Weren't old enough to understand the context.
She said nothing.
The oldest one was 5. 5, 4, and a 3-year-old.
You didn't know, said Callie. It's horrible, but it was a mistake. You can't let something like that eat at you.
That's the thing, he told her. Didn't feel bad about it then. Still don't.
You don't?
He shook his head.
No, I should. Any decent, sane human being should feel horrible they killed 3 innocent kids, and to this day I don't feel a damned thing. Did what I was supposed to do and did it really well.
Why does it bother you then?
Because they were going to let me stay.
What?
He shook his head again.
Fucking love the Corps. All I ever wanted was to be part of it, to wear that uniform. But that's not what a Marine's supposed to be. Some fucking monster that can shoot 3 kids and still sleep well at night? That's not the kind of Marine I want in there.
I don't think you're a monster.
Evidence says you're wrong.
If you don't care, she said, why are you here? You didn't just quit the Marines.
Nobody really quits the Marines.
Stop.
She pushed herself up into a sitting position.
You didn't just leave. You got as far away as possible. You picked a job at a cemetery in the middle of nowhere where you're pretty much guaranteed to never see another child again. Another living one, anyway.
What's your point?
You're punishing yourself. You can't say you don't care when you exiled yourself to one of the most desolate, lonely parts of the solar system.
I'm not lonely.
You made a mistake. You dealt with it different, that's all. Compartmentalized it or something. It doesn't make you a monster.
2 clients thudded against the front of the buggy. One went low, the other went high. It flailed off to the side and was swallowed by the darkness.
Okay, then. He said.
What?
Quid pro quo. What's your big dumb decision?
Seriously? After all that?
Yeah.
Anything I could possibly say is going to sound petty and stupid after what you've been through, she said.
Maybe. Think you need to get it off your chest, though.
Why?
Because you suggested this.
She tugged the blanket a little closer around her. A few last drops of water rolled down her face, dangled from her chin, and then dropped away before she could flick at them.
I guess I came to the moon.
Details, he said. How'd you end up here?
I didn't have anywhere.
She closed her eyes, enjoyed the dark for a moment.
It was my only option.
What? You're 24,
25.
How can you be out of options?
Callie slumped back into her seat. She tried to sink into the blanket, to let it rise up and swallow her. The blanket refused to cooperate.
You can't laugh.
Hell, I can't.
I'm serious.
Me too.
She sighed. The warm air felt good on her tongue as it left her body.
Since I was 4, she said, all I ever wanted to do was dance ballet.
Thought every little girl wanted that at some point. Never could figure out why.
Callie closed her eyes, pictured the dancers on stage.
Because it's people choosing to be beautiful. The way they move, the way they look, it's all beautiful.
So how long did this last?
She took a deep breath, enjoyed the sensation of full lungs, let it out across her tongue again.
Until about 4 months ago.
Ah.
The first 8 or 9 years were great. I was this obsessed, super dedicated little girl. Everyone talked about my work ethic, my potential.
And then, she sighed.
Puberty.
Jake cleared his throat.
Don't want to sound like an ass, he said, but, well.
Puberty was good to me.
Was going to try for something a little classier, but yeah.
I've heard every version of it, believe me.
She flexed a thigh, extended one leg up at the ceiling. Her toes stretched back, then pointed up, making a straight line toward the ceiling.
So many offers to be a model or an actress or whatever.
She shook her head.
But all I wanted was to be a ballerina.
Didn't work out.
She shook her head and brought her leg down.
I went from being one of the shortest kids to one of the tallest. Almost doubled my height in less than 4 years. My proportions were all different. My center of gravity shifted, so my balance was gone. All of a sudden, I was 17, and I'd had to relearn my body half a dozen times.
Ouch.
Yeah. It turns out this new body wasn't really the ballet ideal.
They still do that sort of thing?
Officially, no. Realistically, yes. I was a little too tall, a little too heavy, a little too big in the front. My arms are kind of short for my legs.
Yeah, that all really stood out to me. You're kind of hideous.
She snorted.
It's a bunch of little things that all add up, you know? Any one of them wouldn't mean much, but altogether, in one person, on top of the fact I...
Her stomach churned. Jake took a drink of his water.
I'm not that good,
Callie said, letting out a breath she'd been holding for months.
I mean, I'm not bad. Better than most. But that's not good enough to get into a company. You can't just be better than the bad people. No matter how much I practiced and rehearsed and studied, I just... So many of the others picked it up faster than me. I had the skills, but they had all the talent. Everyone kept telling me it'd be tough, that the raw numbers meant I probably wouldn't make it, but I ignored them all. I thought the people trying to be nice about it were using reverse psychology to encourage me. The ones who were mean and upfront about it, well, they were all just jealous bitches.
Naturally.
I just went out there and trained and trained and tried my best and...
And it wasn't enough.
She nodded.
Not even close. I finally realized what a lot of people had apparently known for a while. It just wasn't going to happen. And I kind of had a breakdown. I'd been crying for about 3 weeks, drinking for half of it. I was just about to move on to the series of trashy one-night stands.
Excellent.
Shut up, asshole. This is my life.
Sorry.
Anyway, I was walking across campus, and they were having a job fair. One booth was for Discorp and the Caretaker Foundation. One of the people started talking to me, and about 5 minutes into his little speech, I realized this was my chance to get away from everything.
Think I remember that speech.
Callie nodded.
They were willing to fast-track me, so I rushed through all the basic courses in about 7 weeks. I just wanted to be on the elevator and on my way before I changed my mind.
No second thoughts?
Nope. In the end, you know what the worst part was?
What?
When I told my parents I'd signed up to be a caretaker, part of me was hoping they'd talk me out of it. Convince me to give dance one last try before I gave up completely and moved to the moon.
Didn't happen. She shook her head.
Never said a word about it. They looked relieved. They congratulated me for choosing such a solid career path.
She drummed her fingers on the chair's arm.
They said they were glad I was finally settling down and doing something worthwhile with my life.
Ouch.
Yeah. The next day, I started the training.
Jake took another drink as Anubis knocked down two more zombies.
When I first got up here, I thought everyone was just being nice to me for... Well, I mean, why is everybody nice on the moon?
Because it beats killing each other.
Yeah. Anyway, I kept trying to shut all of you out, and about a week or so ago it hit me that I like it up here. And I'm really good at this. My mom used to always say everybody's great at something, it's just whether or not they find it. So maybe this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Fighting zombies on the moon?
She managed a dry smile.
Maybe I've got a wider skill set than I thought.
Okay.
A dozen meters away, a wall of Lunacrete appeared in the floodlights. Gagarin Avenue. Jake adjusted their course and glanced at the rear camera.
Nothing in sight. They're at least 50 meters behind us at this point.
You sure?
Sure enough. You ready to get out of here?
Callie took a deep breath, swung her legs off the chair, and stood up. Her legs felt soft and distant. Her tooth let out a single pulse of pain. Her vision swam for a second, but her eyes didn't lose focus.
Still a little cold, like bone-deep cold. But I can feel the heat on my skin. I can run.
Yeah?
Yeah. Let's do it.